All of your help comes from the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things that God has done, great things that God is doing, and greater things even that God will do. Amen. We serve an amazing God. There's none like him, never was before, never will be. Amen. He is God all by himself. Come on and give our dancers and our choir. Let's give them a hand. Thank you all so very much for blessing us through the Ministry of Music and Worship Arts this morning. I do need your prayers as we come to preach this word this morning. And I ask that you would turn with me to the Gospel of St. John, St. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. We're going to preach the remainder of this text. We preached the earlier portion of it last week around the subject, because he lives. And the week before that was, it ain't over until God says it's over. Amen, somebody. And this afternoon, we want to invite you back to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see, hallelujah, see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold thy hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. I want us to think on this morning the subject, from a doubt to a shout. From a doubt to a shout. On Monday night, and let me just go ahead and warn those who came to hear me preach today, you come back next Sunday, amen. I've got to work on my voice today. The Lord's name be praised. But who knows what the Holy Ghost will do, amen. Praise the Lord. On Monday night of this past week, we witnessed one of the finest basketball games in NCAA tournament history between North Carolina and Villanova. The game was close most of the way, and then Villanova took a 10-point lead in the second half, only to watch North Carolina exemplify tremendous character as they cut the lead down to 3 with 13.5 seconds remaining. And for those who watched the game, we saw them with 13.5 seconds remaining, bring the ball down court. And they took the ball out, came down, and with 4.7 seconds left, tied the game on what was an amazing acrobatic shot beyond the three-point line. The score was suddenly tied at 74 with 4.7 seconds left. Villanova did not seem to have any doubt. They believed they would win. One player, in fact, was so cool and calm that he took the mop and mopped the floor to make sure it was dry for when he would set the pick on the inbound play. Another received the ball and dribbled down court with the presence of mind to find the open man for the final shot. The trailing player, a player by the name of Chris Jenkins, who had taken the ball out, shouted, "I'm open, I'm open." And with trusted teamwork, the point guard, Arch, threw him the ball, and he stroked the three-point basket as time expired. It was a classic basketball game for the ages. The Villanova Wildcats, the basketball team, took their fans from doubt to a shout. Villanova had won the NCAA basketball championship for the first time since 1985. That was 31 years ago. Now, it just so happened that I was in Philadelphia this past week for the Bishop's Council and the General Board and the General Conference Commission. And while there, on Thursday, Villanova held this victory parade in Philadelphia. It was good to hear the coach talk about these group of young men, how unselfish and giving they were for the sake of the team. He made it very clear that there were no superstars on the team, just a bunch of good players. The coach, Jay Wright, talked about how they had worked hard to get to this point, but most of all, they believed in themselves. They believed in their collective abilities, and they believed in each other. Their belief factor was essential to their winning the game of their lives. This is a powerful life lesson for all of us because it reminds us that we must not live on the avenue, the boulevard, or the street, or the road, or even the interstate called doubt, but we must move from doubt to faith, that we must live in faith. In fact, we are told that we must walk by faith and not by sight. We must believe in God, God's plan for our lives, his ability to provide for us, and his ability to empower us for victory in this life and in the life to come. Here in the text, we are on the evening of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are y'all praying for me? The disciples were hiding out because they feared the religious leaders. They saw what had happened to Jesus and was concerned that they could be next. They were hiding, and Jesus came to them. He came to them through the walls and the closed doors because he had a glorified body. He spoke peace to them in an effort to not startle them. He showed them the evidence of his hands, his feet, his side, so that they would know that it was him who had been crucified on that Friday, but praise be to God, was resurrected on early that Sunday morning. Jesus resurrected body was unique. It was not the same kind of flesh and blood that Lazarus had when he had been resuscitated back to life. Jesus' body was no longer subject to the same laws of nature as before his death. He could appear in a locked room, and yet he was not a ghost or an aberration because he could be touched and he could eat. Jesus' resurrection was literal and physical. He was not a disembodied spirit. He showed up to comfort and to reassure some stressed out disciples that everything was going to be all right. He showed up to show that he cared about them. He showed up to empower them for the journey that was ahead. He showed up to relieve their stress by nurturing their faith. They were too stressed out to receive their blessing. But when Jesus showed up, good God Almighty, it was a new day. Oh, I wish I had some witnesses in here. Is anybody in here who ever been going through some stuff and going through some challenges and some temptations and some disappointments and some trials and some tests in your life, and Jesus showed up? Isn't it good to know that Jesus can show up? It doesn't matter. There's no wall that can hold him back. There are no locked doors that can hold him back. There's no enemy that you can have that can hold him back. Not even the devil and demons themselves can stop Jesus from showing up. Look to your neighbor and tell him he will show up. Now, it's important for us to move from doubt to shout, because you see, it has been scientifically proven that at least 70% of all sickness and diseases are stress-related. They manifest themselves in names like strokes and heart attacks and diabetes and arthritis and migraine headaches and even the flu and common cold. And so many people are stressed out today from the day-to-day activity. Some are, yes, heard to say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And for some of the folks, that is true. But for many people, it is just the opposite. They are really too stressed out to enjoy the blessing or realize how blessed they are in their life. Oh, do I have any witnesses in here? How many folks thank God that he just woke you up this morning? Amen, amen. I don't care what you got to deal with today. I don't care what you got to deal with tomorrow. You ought to shout just the fact that you woke up this morning, that you're still here to deal with it, to go through whatever you got to go through. Much of our stress in life is related to a life of doubt. Too many doubt rather than believe. Too many walk in disbelief of God and his promises. Therefore, their lives are filled with stress. Throughout this whole worship service this morning, we've been emphasizing the importance of standing on the promises of God. I know I've shared this with y'all before, but there was a time and I used to lay awake at night, Bishop, because I was concerned about the challenges and the obstacles and the pressures and the hardships and the difficulties of life and what I had to face the next day or the next week or what was going on. But you know one thing, God, the Holy Spirit took me to a passage of scripture. In fact, the passage of scripture that was read earlier, Psalm 121. And when I read that scripture, it said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. For my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Here it is, here it is. Here's how you can go to sleep and sleep all night long. Here's how you can sleep and not have to worry about what's going on. It says, for behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So if God is awake all night, ain't no need for both of us to be up. If he's already up working on it, why should I be awake? Somebody say, look to your neighbor and tell him, get a good night's rest. God got this. God's got this. God's got this. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. If the Lord is going to do all of that, what do we have to be worried and stressed out about? Now, many people jump all over Thomas. So often he is remembered as doubting Thomas. In fact, when somebody expresses doubt today, somebody will look at them and say, you just a doubting Thomas, amen? But I'm here this morning as the defense attorney for Thomas. I want to defend Thomas for his faith this morning. You see, he was a doubter, but his doubts had a purpose. He wanted to know the truth so that he could believe. Thomas did not idolize his doubts, but he gladly believed when given reason to do so. He expressed his doubts fully and had them answered completely. Doubting was only his way of responding. It was not his way of life. I think I need to rewind that and hit that again. Doubting was only his way of responding. It was not his way of life. Thomas did not stay in doubt. He allowed Jesus to bring him in to believe. He shows us, that we must not settle into doubt, but move on from doubt to decision and believe. We should talk about our doubts with other believers who can give us the correct answer. For silent doubts rarely find answers. Thomas voiced his doubts as he struggled to find answers. But when he got his answer, when Jesus showed up, when he got his facts correct, Thomas went from doubting to shouting. Thomas said, oh, my Lord and my God, I got this now. He said, I'm going from a doubt to a shout. Well, now, how can we go from a doubt to a shout? Let me leave three quick things with you. First of all, to go from a doubt to a shout, we must believe in God and his plan for our lives. We must believe in God and his plan for our lives. The disciples were at one of the lowest moments in their lives. They were stressed out and filled with fear. Their leader had been crucified. They thought they were going to rule and reign in an earthly kingdom with him. They thought that he was going to set up an earthly kingdom like David had done and freedom from Roman rule. But their expectations were left unfulfilled. Their dreams were shattered. Their hopes were dashed. And all seem lost at the moment. Now, you may be going through some challenges in your life. You may feel like all is lost today. You may feel like throwing up your hands in disappointment and discouragement. You may feel like this is too much on your plate at this time. You may feel like saying, Lord, why me, Lord? If it ain't one thing, it's another, Lord. Couldn't you allow this other thing to happen at a different time? Well, I got good news for you today. In spite of whatever it is you're going through, Jesus will show up right on time. Jesus will not allow any more on you than you can bear. Jesus will show up in the midst of your setback. He will show up in the midst of your disappointment. Just continue to believe in God and his plan for your life, because God has already declared through Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for you to prosper and do good. Plans for good and not evil. Plans to give you an expected hope and an expected end. Yes, sometimes you may not understand it like the disciples didn't understand it. Sometimes you may get out of focus, but keep your mind on the fact that you can trust God and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. They had his words, but their faith was not focused on the promises of God. They were caught up in the circumstances of the moment. But if you're going to go from a doubt to a shout, you got to believe God and believe in his plans for our lives. Secondly, to go from a doubt to a shout, we must believe God will take care of us. Jesus showed up to see about his disciples. He was concerned about them. He had compassion for them. He loved them. He wanted them to know that he was fine and had risen from the dead just as he had promised. We serve a God who will never forsake us or leave us alone. He will always come and see about us. He had taught them a very powerful lesson in the text that was read earlier this morning in St. Matthew 6, 25 to 24, when he said, I want you to know that I'm concerned about the fowls of the air. They do not sow anything, but I still make food for them to eat. I'm concerned about the lilies of the valley, because they still are clothed every day. He said, but I want you to know something. As concerned as I am about nature and the animals are in the world, he said, I'm more concerned about you, because you are of far greater value to me than these things. And then he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, and all these other things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, God was not saying don't plan for the future or not do our part, but he was saying don't live worrisome lives. Don't live stressed out lives. Learn how to trust God. Learn how to have faith in God, who loves you and will provide for you. He takes care of the fowls of the air. He takes care of the lily of the field. You know he's going to take care of you and me. There's a very familiar poem called Footprints in the Sand. I'm sure many of you have heard it. And it says, one night, I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes of my life. And for each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of life, especially at the very lowest and saddest time, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said, once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and the most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testing. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. God will be with us. He will take care of us. And when you know God will take care of you, you can move from a doubt to a shout. Oh, I wish I had some witnesses this morning. Are there any witnesses in here today who can testify that during the lowest times of your life, that the Lord was with you, that the Lord carried you, that the Lord made a way for you? Do we have any witnesses in here who can say, I know what you're talking about, Reverend. I've been on that path, and the Lord brought me through it. And in fact, I can say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? To go from a doubt to a shout. We got to believe in God and his plan for our life. We got to believe that God will take care of us. And as I close this afternoon, to go from a shout, from a doubt to a shout, we must believe that God will empower us. The disciples could not make it on their own power. They needed supernatural power. They needed Holy Ghost power, even to get them to the day of Pentecost. And so the text said, Jesus, he breathed on them. He empowered them for victorious living and witnessing as believers. We cannot make it on our own. We need the power of Almighty God. Many people miss out in this life because they're trying to do it all by themselves. They're trying to handle their problem, their situation, their circumstances all by themselves. But I want to encourage us today to leave some room for prayer, to ask God to help us, to ask God to breathe on us, to ask God to send a fresh anointing of his Holy Spirit, to ask God to send down his power, and don't try to do it all by yourself. And then I tell folks, if you're going to do something, do it according to the word of God, because when you do it according to God's word, then you're going to have God's blessings to go with you. I see so many people go against the word of God and get out of the will of God and do things that are not biblical. And when they fall apart, they wonder, well, Lord, why didn't you bless it? God is not obligated to bless our will. God is obligated to bless his will and his word. The word of God says that God will watch over and perform his word. Not he'll watch over and perform Brailsford's word. Not he'll watch over and perform your word. But he will watch over and perform his word. I tell folks, as you live, be sure of this, that God is going to get involved at some point. Sometimes, Bishop, I believe God just kind of steps back and see if we're just going to trust him. And whether we're going to go to the left or whether we're going to go to the right, right or whether we're going to walk in the path of righteousness. And let me tell you something. You can't be starting over here and expect to get God's blessing right here. You got to do it the way God says do it. So when God shows up, God will say, there's a man of God. There's a woman of God. They are doing it according to my word. And so I'm going to bless their effort. I'm going to bless their family. I'm going to bless their children. I'm going to bless their grandchildren. I'm going to bless them. Why? Because I'm honoring my word. I'm not a respecter of person, but I honor my word. I honor men and women of faith who will live for me, who are willing to die for me. I'm honoring men and women of faith who will let their light so shine before men that they will see my good work and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And when you do it God's way, people will be looking around wondering, how is it that God is using them? How is it that God is blessing them? When they saw Peter and John, they couldn't understand it. They said, my God, they're standing up here preaching the word, but those are unlearned men. How could they do what they do? And somebody said, it's because they've been with Jesus. When you walk with Jesus and you talk with Jesus and you live for Jesus, Jesus will take you from a doubt to a shout. But as I get ready to close this morning, Jesus showed up, hallelujah, and when he got up there in the room, he breathed on them. All of us need God to breathe on us, but when he breathes on us, Holy Ghost power will come, and when the Holy Ghost power comes, the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in our life. There'll be joy, there'll be peace, there'll be love, there'll be goodness and gentleness and faith and long-suffering and meekness and temperance, because we are filled with the Holy Ghost. When he breathes on us, we'll get witnessing power so we can witness for him. We can witness in our family. We can witness in our neighborhood. We can witness among our friends. When Holy Ghost power comes on us, tap somebody and tell him, say, let him breathe on you. Let him breathe on you. In fact, you ought to look up to the Lord right now and say, the Holy Ghost, come on down. Lord, breathe on me. Send down a fresh anointing, Lord. Glory. We must believe to go from a doubt to a shout. Hallelujah. They came, Jesus came in the room, and this time when he came 8 days later, it says, glory to God, in the room was Thomas, and Jesus said, Thomas, I heard what you said, and I know the other 10 witnesses can convince you, but come on over here, Thomas, I want you to put your fingers in my hand, where the nails were in my hand. I want you to thrust your hand in my side where they pierced me in my side. And when Thomas felt the hands and Thomas put his hand in his side, Thomas went from doubting Thomas to shouting Thomas. He said, oh Lord my God, hallelujah. When you have come in contact with Jesus, you go from a doubt to a shout. When you know the Lord, you can go from a doubt to a shout. When the devil comes with the doubt of I can't, you can go with the shout of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the devil comes with the doubt of fear, you can come with a shout and say, I can do all, hallelujah, that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. When the enemy comes with the doubt to make you afraid, you can come with a shout and say, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I said, I'm going from a doubt to a shout. Hallelujah. Anybody glad he woke you up this morning? You lay it down last night, not knowing whether you would get up today. But when he woke you up this morning, you should have got into a shout. When he blessed you to be clothed in your right mind, that's a shout. When he gave you the opportunity to open your two eyes, that's a shout. When you could feel and touch, that's a shout. When you could breathe, that's a shout. Hallelujah. It's time to go from a doubt to a shout, from unbelief to believe, from fear to faith. Somebody ought to say, yeah. Do I have any witnesses in here this morning? Come on and stand to your feet and give the Lord some praise.